I thought the unicorns were the problem. Kill the unicorns. Weren't they getting overrunning the world or something?
They are. They're bad unicorns.
Bad unicorns. Can't spell unicorn.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Welcome to another episode. We all just got back from Thanksgiving.
I'm full.
I am still full, actually. The leftovers have been fantastic.
I guess gained 2.6 pounds.
What? And you measured it. Wow, way to go.
Katie and I had separate Thanksgiving dinners.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Did you guys all play lots of board games, I assume?
Yes, we did.
How many, Kevin?
We played from Wednesday night until pretty much Saturday, 38 games.
38!
That's crazy.
You win!
38 different games?
No, not 38 different games, 38 plays of games.
See how
okay.
So probably, I think it was 18 different games.
Wow, that's still a lot.
I was pretty proud of us. We did like six in one day. That's pretty...
Well, six different games.
Six different
games. But several plays of each of those. Cool. It was pretty fun.
How about you guys? Any?
Yeah, we got in some King of Tokyo.
There were so many you couldn't count it.
And Attack on Titan was a big surprise sleeper hit.
With
my brother-in-laws. Mm-hmm. Like, they're big into hunting and football, not games necessarily, but they really liked Attack on Titan.
That was pretty exciting. And my personal favorite... We got to play the Firefly the board game.
Oh, yeah, the traditional
Katie
game.
Won. Katie won.
Wow. There you go. It was nice.
Very good.
Yep, well, we got in our traditional Caverna.
I saw the Instagram picture.
Yeah. Liam did all right for first time through.
Yeah.
Good.
He picked it all up. Yeah. He understood what he was doing.
He did great.
So we were going to do like all the scenarios of Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition. We did one scenario.
Oh, no, what happened?
I think it was there were so many games that we wanted to play, and they take a long time.
They do.
Like, it was...
And the setup wasn't really good. We had to do it on Kevin's laptop and the lighting.
The Wi-Fi was not that good up there.
That'll kill you. I think Ryan was having problems with that, too.
We enjoyed lots of Dominion and Werewords and New York Slice. And
I think we played Werewords a couple times.
Harry Potter, Hogwarts Battle.
Yeah.
And
we played another exit.
We played...
Did you?
Two or three different escape room type games, two unlocks from Space Cowboys, and one exit... I think Melissa looked it up. We played the hardest exit that's out there.
That exists.
The Forbidden Castle. The
Forbidden Castle.
Level 4.
They've only had level 3s.
Wow.
Until now. Now they have a level 4. Let's just say it took us 2 hours to get through an hour
game.
Wow.
Was it like so hard that it was just ridiculous? Or was it like...
We had 4 players. One of them bailed. So we actually had 3... So it worked out that it took us a little longer. Going to be at like 25
versus. That's not a little longer. That's like twice as long.
But we lost 25%, so it sort of equals out.
Oh,
there were some things where you had to physically do stuff, and
it
didn't quite work out
the way we thought it was going to work. And then we looked at the clue and the hint, and we're like, yeah, we would never have figured that.
Yeah.
Like,
we figured it out.
We were on the right track. We don't want to give any spoilers away, mm-hmm. but
yeah, don't
we're like,
tell us exactly what you
when we did it, we're like, oh, that the way it's built, we wouldn't have been able to do it.
Interesting.
It wasn't intuitive that way.
That's what I wonder. Like, do you just run into walls and you're like, we can't figure it out? Or is it like, it is solvable, we just had to get on the right track and figure out the next
step. Yeah, it was the way it was set up. That's all I can say.
Interesting. So if you've played that one, how long has it been out?
It's brand new.
It's brand new.
Let us know on Facebook or something.
Yeah,
let us know
if you did amazing on it.
Yeah, what was your experience? Did you solve it? Did you even finish it? You guys did finish it.
We finished it, yeah.
How many clues? Is it like records that we can be setting?
I don't think we counted.
Yeah.
So many or so few.
Yeah, so few clues, yeah.
Oh, good. All right, so what are we talking about on the show?
We've got a couple game, or well, they're not even all games. There's a couple products on Kickstarter that we're going to talk about today, and then we're going to do a year in review.
Ooh, a year in review of 2017. Ooh.
Sounds like a good nostalgic time of year to be looking at such a thing. Let's talk for two more seconds, though, about game night tonight.
Due South.
Yeah.
Our last Due South.
I know. So we've been playing games at Due South Coffee in Taylor's for like the last 2 years?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Every last Monday of the month had a good crowd. We always have a good turnout. Mm-hmm. Tonight was our like sad, bittersweet moment of they're moving to a new location. And so we have to find a new location for our game night as well. So if you're listening and you're one of our locals, we'll let you know as soon as we have finalized plans on that.
Yeah, we're talking to different companies, so hopefully we'll get that to you soon.
Getting
yeah,
in place.
But no game night in December.
Correct. Last one for the year. Don't go to Due South because they won't be there either, I don't think.
Right.
I think it's actually New Year's Day, isn't it? Like, what's the last
one? Yeah,
Monday?
Just take a holiday break.
Enjoy. Play some games at your house.
But we played some really cool games tonight
we did.
At Due South.
Yeah.
One of the big ones, we had a 7-player The Thing Outpost at Infection at Outpost 31. It's based off of the cult classic The Thing. It's a 1980s movie that I think was like a 1950s black and white movie. And
originally.
It's like these aliens have infected people in this like tundra like
Antarctic
research station. And basically it's a hidden traitor like mechanic, plus there's a little bit like resistance. People are going on missions to try to accomplish them. So the leader can take like 3 or 4 people to try and accomplish this mission by like rolling dice or trying to like get knives or hammers or axes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the imitations or the aliens are trying to sabotage. And throughout the game, more imitations come.
More
traitors. So in a 7-player game, you can have up to 3 bad guys in 7-player game.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
It's a lot. And you're trying to accomplish missions that the bad guys, the imitations, are trying to sabotage and...
Or even lay low to try to escape with everyone
so
else.
So we actually made it to the final escape, and I think Katie was the final person.
I was the team leader,
yeah.
And I was supposed to choose who was going to survive and go on the helicopter and escape.
So tell us your thought
facility.
Process. Yeah, tell us about
so
this.
So my thought processes were, I suspected Melissa from the beginning.
What?
But I had, yes, but I had one test I could administer, one blood test mm-hmm. to see if she was human, and she was. So
I was not a traitor.
I put her on the helicopter and made it an easy go. I knew exactly like one person and myself to put on the helicopter.
Okay. And you had to pick 2 more, so you had to have a total of 4.
I had to have 2 more. There was a guy who had chosen me to be the last team leader.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, he's been doing really well helping people out. I feel pretty confident that he's a human.
Okay.
And then I was kind of waffling between Ryan and then this lady across from me. And the
Ryan.
Guy I had picked on my as my second person said, no, I trust Ryan. Let's take him. And I was like, okay,
so,
I'll go with that.
So the team, like all the, not the team, but every player, all 7 players have to vote. And it's majority wins.
Majority wins. So they voted on, all right.
3, 2, 1, vote.
We did a vote and we all agreed that it was okay that these 4 people left in the helicopter. And I was like, yes, the humans
won.
And then Ryan was like, no, I've been a traitor this whole time. He's been an alien from the beginning.
The alien escaped the outpost?
No.
I know, which shocked me.
Katie
which
practically
really
tackled
obvious. Yeah.
Ryan.
I actually didn't play. I was GMing another game for some other people. And I look over and like the tension is high. Everybody is on the edge of their seats. Ryan's like eloquently persuading them of his humanness. I don't even know how to play the game. All I know is that all of a sudden, everybody cheers, Ryan flips over a card, and everyone yells.
Yeah. It was a very loud explosion of, what? Oh my goodness! Ah!
I think I actually have a picture, if you check our Facebook page, of Katie mid-punch. And she duped Ryan for betraying
her. That's
crush.
Where that black guy came from, Ryan. Wow.
Where'd
did
you go,
not
Ryan?
Give him a black eye.
Those bruises. No, just kidding.
But we have a couple games that we want to talk about.
We do. Kickstarter conditions type things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go roll into that.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, so we just have a couple games we wanted to mention really quickly on Kickstarter. One of them is Kill the Unicorns.
Why are you killing beautiful unicorns?
Because they're overrunning the population of this majestic little mountain marshmallow town. Don't know a whole lot about the game except that it looks super cute. The illustrations for it are hilarious. It's a card game with like lots of little square cards, and you're hunting things, and you're scoring combinations of cards. It looks like a set collection.
You're hunting unicorns. You're hunting specifically, right?
Innocent, happy unicorns. And I think there might be unipigs or something.
Unipigs?
They're just pigs with unicorns.
Yeah, there's different illustrations. They're like pseudo. They're like false unicorns.
Oh, tricking you.
This is actually from a company that produced Hope, which was previously funded Kickstarter. I think the name of the company is called Morning Players or Morning or something like that. So I think they're a foreign company.
Okay.
But
they know how to do a Kickstarter page for sure. They got lots of cool motion graphics and twinkly stars, and I just like the eye candy. I'll be honest, that's really what drew me into this game. they've already met their pledge goal. They're about, I don't know, a week into their campaign, so by the time you see this, they'll be about halfway through. But super funny looking. If you're into just really cutesy, the box looks like a tissue box to me. I don't know if that's
a
really
tissue box.
The shape of it.
It does look like a tissue box. Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so just some cute stuff going on. Might want to check that one out if you're interested. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I wanted to mention something that will be needed after Christmas, and that is more storage for all the games that you will get for Christmas. And Box Thrones is up on Kickstarter right now. We didn't talk about it when it first launched.
Didn't fall into that board game category.
Yeah, well,
of being
I think
a game,
we kind of missed.
I saw this. This looks really cool.
Yeah, I know.
It's a modular system for shelving for your games, and each game goes on its own individual shelf. There's, depending on the size, you might be able to fit a couple games on a shelf.
But all the shelves are adjustable so that you can really customize
it. It is very customizable. The outer framework can be different colors. There's metal bars that support rods that you stick your games on, shelving, and those are all different colors. So I don't know. We already have IKEA's.
We've got the necessary calyx.
But even I know you guys have like a lot of board games, but even for those people that don't have a lot of games, this is neat because it's individually shelved. So even if you have 20 games or 200 games, this has options.
I think the most interesting and biggest, most innovative part of this is that you don't have to stack any games on top of each other and then have to pull something from the bottom of the stack.
And then
all on their individual little things.
They have
you can pull them in
too,
and out without
there's no
problems.
Wiggling to get
no
the game.
Landsliding, no wiggling, no strain. There's no strain. I don't know.
There's no mess of
your games being tipped sideways.
Which happens all the time.
You don't
want to
tip your game sideways because then all the cards get mixed together or.
Yeah, it's a clever concept. So kudos
and their
to
their
you
Kickstarter
guys.
Page is well designed and very comical in places. So
cool.
I enjoyed looking through it. Yeah. So you might too.
Check it out. Okay, Ben, we need some cool sound effects. We need like a what we played. All right, so we are going to talk about some of the games that we played, prototypes that came to Kickstarter or that we. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about other things later.
We'll start with that. How many, I think I saw a post on Facebook last week of games that Kevin played in 2017.
Games, total games I played is over 600 games.
I can't believe you keep up with that.
238.
He's got an app for that.
Oh my goodness.
238 unique games. So I played games multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I keep track of that on the BGG app. It's been really helpful this year. I've never tried that before.
Can you compare on the app with other people? I need to download this app apparently.
I think you can see what other people have played.
No, so. I don't think I could be a contender with that, just to be honest.
I think Kevin posted it on Facebook and I saw people commenting like, I played 125 and I played whatever. I don't think I could compete with 500, but you'd be on there for sure with...
Maybe. I do play a lot, but I don't know if I can compete with that number.
But how many Kickstarter games?
Yeah, I was going to say,
Kickstarter games.
Our company plays a lot of Kickstarter prototype games before they even are launched on Kickstarter. I think
do you
I
have
got
an estimate?
Probably close to 100.
100 this year?
In 2017, 100 different prototype games from different companies around the world that we play. We should talk about some of those
games. Let's do it. Where should we start? Who wants to start?
I'll start.
What do we got?
All right. I want to talk about
Gearworks.
Okay, Gearworks.
I thought that was really fun.
Peacekeeper games.
Yes, we interviewed the guy.
Mm-hmm. Kirk?
Yeah, who designed that. But
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk. But I really enjoyed the, like, I like that it's simple. It's...
Would you call it an abstract strategy game? Because you're just basically laying cards in a grid.
I guess it kind of is, which I'm hesitant to say because I ordinarily don't really like abstract games.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy this one a lot.
Because it reminds like us of like Sudoku or something. Right. Like
yeah, it has that
is
kind
abstract
of...
abstract strategy the right word for it?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know what I would call it. It's a puzzle, kind of a puzzle game.
I like puzzles.
Yeah.
It was very mathy, usually too, when you think,
which is weird.
Yeah, because I'm not really bad.
Which is weird.
Yeah. Okay, there's a lot of things that I don't like, but I actually really like this game, so I don't know.
It took it out of the abstract area with the theme and little goal cards for every round where you're trying to get these bonus points.
But right, when I think of abstract, I usually don't think of a theme.
You think like chess or so. Like we played a game, Intel, that basically is just you're moving pieces around or something like that.
But yeah. There's plenty of illustrations and like neat flavor to the game and so it's hard to
a little
call
bit
it
of take
abstract.
That a lot yeah. of steampunk
so,
theme
yeah so Will, do you have a game that you enjoyed playing or
I did
talk about?
And I think I mentioned it a number of times. Can you guess? Dice Hospital was
Dice
a
Hospital
fun one. That was a prototype that we played. I played it a lot. Like I
yeah, we played that
usually
a lot.
We get a prototype and we play it, you know, three or four times with different player counts. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we really enjoy it, we'll pull it out at another game night. This one, like I had a blast teaching it to people over and over. I do. I mean, dice as worker placement is probably my favorite mechanic. I think
I just love it for some reason.
It just we've played a number of those and it was a new theme for me. Like with the in general, I don't know that I've played any hospital.
I think they're actually coming out with another medical type game next year. Yes,
are they like doctors on their spare time? What's their
yeah? Well, the one designer is I think he was an EMT.
Yes. Okay,
and now I think he's a nurse who works in the emergency
board game design room.
So he knows this kind of.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure, but he is medical professional.
It's interesting. Cool.
Professional.
I enjoyed that one a lot. I enjoyed just the concepts that were in it. I'm looking forward to seeing the final production of it because I think they ended up doing like the miniatures for the ambulances
yes.
and things like that.
And you can put like things. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I think it'll be real cool. So cool. Good. Hope that one comes out well. Kevin, what do you got?
So. One game I want to talk about is Legends of Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa and I were able to play that from Greater Than Games, Dice Hate Me Games. And it is sort of a co-op game where mm-hmm. you're trying to complete objectives in the game and there's bad guys. It sort of reminded me a little bit of Mansions of Madness a little bit.
Yeah, it's scenario-based, so you're playing through the story and unlocking new things and opening secret packages once you finish the objective.
So I like games that have good story to them, but still feel like you're actually like accomplishing, like you're making strategic decisions. It's not like a dungeon crawl or whatever. Like you're actually like
just rolling dice. And
yeah, rolling
for
dice.
Luck.
So, but you're actually like creating or helping the story along with the different characters. So. Enjoyed Legends of Sleepy Hollow. I think Will was able to play.
Yeah, I played a round or two. The round we played was hard, but I did enjoy it, and it was, so, I agree, it felt like you were accomplishing stuff.
I think they have different levels now, so.
Good.
Of hardness. So we want to move to...
Actually, let's see what Ryan has to say.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I wanted to mention Shifting Realms. I really enjoyed that game. Even just when we were doing, they hired us to do some videos on it. And we got ourselves caught up in the video making process because we were enjoying playing it so much. We ended up with a lot of extra footage.
The playthrough video.
Our poor video guy like was trying to be quiet and not say anything, but we had totally forgotten he was there and that we were videoing. And we were just like almost played the whole game. And he finally was like, "Woo, that was just halfway." We're like, "Actually, we're nearly done." We totally forgot we were filming.
Yeah. It was a great game, and I love the jumble of different themes. Mashed together. I always like it. It's sort of like a smash up type thing where they just
pull the dragons and they've got
it's cool to see these different
things
going mixed up together.
It was really, as I say, it was really interesting that there was these different parts to this board and it was going to be different kind of each time and that
each of these board realms did different things. Like, I spent a lot of my time in the dragon realm because that was fun. But, I mean, if you want to just focus on a different strategy, you could go to a different part of the board and really play there. So, what about you, Melissa?
I wanted to mention, actually, a publisher, Pencil First Games. We played two of their games this year. One was Sunset Over Water.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's by the same team that did Herbaceous. Mm-hmm. And it has beautiful illustrations by Beth Sobel of all these different landscapes.
Is she one of our sponsors? I just got to ask, because I feel like...
We mentioned her name.
We love you, Beth.
If you want to hang out with us sometime, Beth, and we would enjoy meeting you and playing games.
It's a really tranquil, just relaxed game, sort of like Herbaceous. It's very easy to understand, and your actions in the game are very simple, so they're not, like, heavily strategic in that you have to think so much about them.
Right, but there's still choices to make, so it's not like you're not doing it.
Yeah, you have choices that you're making.
I like how calm and relaxing they feel. Mm-hmm. It is nice.
Feng Shui. Thing
yeah, and then the other one that they published, which is very different, it's a more complex Euro-heavy game, was Legendary Creatures.
Yes.
With the...
cool little meeples.
Yeah, like the flying llama and the snake cat or whatever.
Yeah, they've been doing really, Pencil First with Edo has been doing some really cool family, you know, hit the right niche that I think Melissa and I really enjoy playing. I mean, Legendary Creatures is a heavier game, whereas Sunset Over Water is a much more simple game, but still fits that family-friendly, enjoyable experience that I think we have together.
Yeah. Did you have something else, Kevin?
Well, maybe we can, like, move into the next segment, because I have want to talk about a game.
Okay. What's the next segment? It's,
games we actually backed.
What we backed on Kickstarter.
I think it's another Dice Worker placement game.
Is yes. It? Rise to Nobility.
Go, Will.
Okay, so next game on my worker dice placement game list is Rise to Nobility. They had a smashingly beautiful campaign this year. We got to play a really nice prototype of that, and then after we played it, they hit, like, I don't even know, 20 different stretch goals on their campaign. So I think that's going to be another really beautiful game in the end. It's a fantasy... you know, style, like you're dealing with dwarves and elves and everybody's trying to bring peace to the five realms or something. But they added, like, custom dice and additional players and more cards and more boards. And I think they raised, I don't know what it was, $300,000+ on their campaign.
Ooh.
We are getting a deluxe copy of it, yes. I believe, which we're pumped about.
Yes,
so.
Final Frontier Games.
Yeah, they...
I think Will liked Cavern Tavern, too.
I did,
well,
yeah.
Well, actually, I liked Cavern Tavern.
Oh, everybody likes Cavern Tavern.
So
come on.
I think this took it to the next level. It's a great worker placement game. I can't wait for their next game, which is coming out.
Robin Hood
and his Merry Men. It's the same artist, the
right.
Nico.
They all feel very similar, like, but this is definitely an upgrade over the gameplay experience you got with Cavern Tavern.
I don't think,
but
Robin
still
has a
similar feel.
Dice worker placement. I don't know what the mechanics are because we haven't seen it yet. But the next game looks really cool.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Excellent artwork. Excellent, like, just component ideas. So I'm looking forward to the final version of that. Katie, what did you back?
Okay, so I was super excited about Tyler Sigmund's Crows.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
And we had originally backed the game, and then I called and was like, we need to up our pledge level because I want the deluxe version. So I'm super excited about some of the really fun things that are going to come in this game. We've got, like metal coins and extra crow meeples, and we're getting, like, a cool alternate art sleeve for
very
the
cool.
game box, which is interesting. I've not seen that before. I mean, I've heard about them, but we don't actually have any games like that, so that's pretty cool. And it's just, the art is just beautiful, and I'm so excited to get it and play it and find out. It's like
cool.
So, Melissa.
Well, we ended up backing Warehouse 13.
Oh, the board. We backed the whole show.
Warehouse 13.
More episodes.
The board game.
Oh, the
board which game. Ryan, Will, Kevin, and I got a chance to play at Origins this past year with the designer, and it's a cooperative hidden trader game where you're trying to save the warehouse and get the artifacts before McPherson does. And if you're familiar with the show at all, it really was You felt immersed in the show.
Yeah, really good. I was sort of concerned about any kind of IP game, especially a game that Melissa and I really enjoy watching, the whole series of Warehouse 13, and it was done so well. That's a cool IP, and the gameplay itself was solid. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. And I think Will even enjoyed it, even not knowing.
Right, I'd never seen the show, and it actually made me want to watch it, which was cool because Kevin and Melissa are like freaking out, and we're like, oh yeah, this character would totally do that.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So I need to watch that one. Put it on Netflix, somebody, because I haven't seen it in a while.
So yeah, excited about that one. And then I think Kevin has something.
I want to talk about, I've backed a few other games.
Just a few?
But one of them was a pretty big one. It's called Seventh Continent.
I don't think
anybody's heard about it. Well, let me just say that 43,733 people had to have heard of it.
Crazy people.
Because that was a number of backers Seventh Continent.
And that this is the second.
It had the second printing. It's a reprint with, I guess, a little extra. I think they threw in another, like, more scenarios or expansions or things, something like that. But I think the first, I don't even remember. They had, like, 12,000 backers for the first one. But 43,000 backers is a lot. And
they did something right.
That brings us to the next segment.
Kevin's top 10 list of games that were expensive.
High funding games.
There we go. Do that one. High funding games.
So we got a video, right?
Yeah, I have a video about the top 10 highest funded board games in 2017. This should be released.
Check our YouTube channel.
Already. But Seventh Continent was number one with over $7 million.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just thinking about that. It's crazy popular. I think people who have already played it had such good feedback about it. They were telling all their friends and the board game community that everyone's like, I want in on that too. It seemed like it hit a lot of the cool puzzly stuff. It hit a lot of like the choose your own adventure that I know another game called Gloomhaven did really well.
Yeah, I love that as well.
Some of the things that I heard about Gloomhaven is that the setup and the breakdown was very time intensive. Mm-hmm. I've heard like 30 to 40 minutes just to get that set up and set up. Whereas I heard Seventh Continent can be set up in 5 to 10 minutes. Cool. So that's a huge difference when you're trying to talk about playing board games.
Now, is Gloomhaven also on that list of highest funded?
Gloomhaven is on the list at number 3. Number 3, it was also a second edition. It was almost $4 million. Now, in between 3 and 1, I put...
comes number 2!
You won't believe it, is number 2.
Lots
can
of
you
number
guys
two.
Guess...
Wait, that didn't
can you
right.
guys guess what that board game is?
Was that all the Seamon games? Am I remembering
good guess!
Right?
You're amazing.
The Seamon games!
Yeah. So, actually...
Seamon like Horde!
So, Gloomhaven was almost $4 million. Zombicide Green Horde and Rising... Zombicide Green Horde was $5 million.
Way to
and
go.
Rising Sun, which is a hugely popular game on Kickstarter 2, was $4.2 million. So, they actually had two... that were above Gloomhaven, but not as much as Seventh Continent.
Yeah.
That's huge.
But together, more than
I didn't want to put them at number one.
Number
it
two,
wasn't
number
one.
Three, number four. Yeah. Yeah, that totally
makes
sense.
These are just individual games.
I did back Rising Sun. I didn't back Zombicide. I know Ryan and Katie have played Zombicide and Zombicide Black Plague.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But a couple other ones, just real quick.
Is Green Horde on your list? Is that coming soon? Are you going to...
Eventually.
After you
it's hard to get Zombicide to the table.
It's a long game, and you got to have people who are willing
dedicated.
To commit the time for it. Yeah, that's one of those games that gets pulled up at holidays.
The big events, yeah.
Yeah, holiday time.
I know another company that put out a game, Roxley Game Laboratories, that I think will probably really like some of their art. They did Steampunk Rally in Santorini.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they put out a game on Kickstarter called Brass Lancashire, Brass Birmingham.
That. Did you back that one?
I backed that one as well, and that is coming in at number 6 for $1.7 million.
No, that was like actually two games.
I know,
right?
How do you
Brass,
do that?
Yeah, well,
two different
go for
games.
It, do it.
It was one campaign, so.
Yeah, so they already released Brass last year?
No, Brass Lancashire, Brass is an old game back in like 2007, I think, and they are reprinting it. And they took Lancashire and Birmingham, and they said, if you back, you can back both games and get a better deal. Yeah. So both games are coming in 2018, and looking forward to that. But if you want to learn more about, you know, what I thought was unique about each of the campaigns and about the funding levels and the number of backers, you can check out the YouTube video, Top 10 Highest Funded Board Games in 2017.
And now it's time for Couples Collision.
Right. So is this us this time?
This is Will and Sarah, but we're gonna peer into Will's brain, or let's try to.
I know.
This is a dangerous place, y'all.
Yes. Tread carefully.
We have a few questions for Will. Okay. Sarah's gonna try and guess.
Try to what match my answers.
Will guessed. So you ready, Will and Sarah?
I'm ready.
Yes, I am.
All right. One. Question number one: Kung Fu, Taekwondo, or jujitsu?
Ooh.
No peeking at each other. Very nice. If you don't know, while they're writing down.
First, I thought we were talking about TV shows, but okay.
Will and his family are really big into karate, and we wanted to see what their answer is on this
okay.
one.
Okay, easy one. That's good.
We also don't know. We did not know enough that we're like, are these actual
is that
things?
What they do?
Is this, we're like, what? And dude, so then we just like, all right, we're
giving you an easy one.
We like that. Appreciate
number
that.
Two.
Good start.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, or 4th of July?
Ooh.
Oh, no. That's what I like to hear.
That's what
is
we
Sarah going, yeah. Oh, no.
You guys ready?
This is definitely one of those ones where there's no context, so it's like, are we in relation to playing board games, or?
Yep.
Okay. Number three, I'm ready.
Number three.
I'm ready. I'm listening.
Days of Wonder, ooh. Yellow, Renegade Game Studios,
oh, no.
Or CMON.
Oh, wow, that got hard.
This is payback.
Payback for all the hard questions, Will.
And y'all are ahead, so.
Yeah, you guys are ahead.
Oh, man. I don't know where we're going with this one.
Number four.
I know where you went with that one.
Did you see what I wrote?
Or I did. Okay. I see what you wrote. That's why I
did Sarah write that? That's the question.
All right. Number four. Miniatures from Gekido. Okay. Meeples from Quadropolis. Guns from Cash and Guns. Or Pyramid from Camel Up. Let me say it one more time.
Say it one more time.
I mean, I'm good.
Miniatures from Gekido or Gekido. Meeples from Quadropolis, Guns from Cash and Guns, or the Pyramid from Camel Up.
I don't know about that. I have like what
go with your first instinct.
First.
No table talk. Oh, no sorry. Table talk.
Table talking. Oh.
I realized that I nodded too when you said the table. I don't know if she noticed that, but I was all like, right. uh-huh. Just watch my face. You can do this.
All right, number five. No peeking. Okay. Number five. Caverna. Happy Salmon. Captain Sonar or Cavern Tavern?
Oh, man, oh, no. You guys are killers.
Caverna, Happy Salmon, Captain Sonar, or Cavern Tavern?
I think Will has mentioned all of these games yes. at some point on the podcast.
I should have added Dice Hospital
as
on there.
As being my favorite, too. That was the thing. I think I've said all of those.
Yes, technically, Dice Hospital is not published yet, so I couldn't add that to the list yet.
Only published games, though. Yep. Like, okay.
All right, number six. Sarah.
What?
Who does Will quote on his Facebook about page?
This can also be a question for Will.
Will, who do you quote on your Facebook about page?
No. Will, or
wow,
Sarah.
I have no idea.
Who does
so
Will?
So is Ryan's question.
Who do this you actually on think he thinks he quoted?
Who I, does Will
we
quote?
We needed some open-ended questions, I, have, like, so I thought this was great.
The faintest idea.
Who does Will quote on
which
his
is
Facebook
funny, because
about
I
page?
Know, because Ryan has told me this.
Okay, shh.
So
don't give anything
know.
Away. All right.
Just a minute.
I think that's what the quote is. I can't even think of who it is that said it.
I have absolutely no idea.
That's okay.
I don't even know what's on my about page.
All right. We're going to give you a bonus question, but not yet. We have a number seven. Number seven is...
Is seven the bonus? No, that's not the bonus.
But we'll have a bonus question. This is not the last question. Great design or great illustration? Great designs or great illustrations? A thousand. We'll see.
Was Katie's question.
This was Katie's question. See, folks listening, we just really want to know more about Will and Sarah.
That's good. I mean, these are good, deep questions. If you guys
We had a good email list going earlier.
They they kicked us out of the room. They were like, can you go set up the podcast?
Well, we had already figured it down, narrowed it down to a few, but we just wanted to get the right list. All right. Last question. Bonus question number 8.
I'm ready.
Will, what is your number one bucket list item that you haven't done yet?
Oh, yeah. I think that's the easy one.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Just a minute.
Will, what? Number one bucket.
Did you think I had?
Number one bucket list item.
Okay. Katie's my new hero.
Number one bucket list item that you haven't done yet. All right. You guys got it? All right.
I got mine. Okay.
Melissa, do you want to say them again? Starting at number one?
All right.
This is to Sarah first.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Sarah, what did Will say? Kung Fu, Taekwondo, or Jiu-Jitsu?
Definitely Jiu-Jitsu.
That is correct.
Is that what y'all do? Is that what y'all do? We were all discussing, like, is this actually what
I was like,
do?
I need three items. Kung Fu, Taekwondo, and I don't know. What's the third one?
Will doesn't do either Taekwondo or Kung Fu.
The point was you guys do karate, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, what is this?
You also do Taekwondo.
I didn't know that. So I was like,
what should we have? Is there another one?
No, I mean, those were good. Those were great.
You didn't even know that we do jiu-jitsu. That could have been the other one.
Yoga.
I mean, we could.
I wouldn't have known what to pick in
that. Pilates. That's true.
Right. More specific, Shotokan
or Shorinru. Yeah. If you had said karate, that would have been the winner. So it was good to avoid that.
Well, the point was.
Well, we didn't know.
Of the big four ish, you know, and you couldn't pick karate. Which one?
Yeah. Yep. Jiu-jitsu.
Well, now we know.
Good job. If you guys want to come roll on the mats with me, let me know.
All right. Moving on to holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, or 4th of July?
I mean, obviously, I think the answer is Christmas. But I put Halloween.
What? It says Halloween here.
I wrote Halloween.
Obviously, the answer is Christmas.
Oh. Wow.
Those were all good, though. I'm a huge holiday fan.
We play more board games at Halloween. We have a giant party. We have a lot of fun doing really crazy costumes.
Did I throw you off when I said the context is board games? Because I agree. Yes. Halloween is our board game holiday.
Okay.
But Christmas is the best holiday.
All right. Well, nothing beats that's Christmas. Okay. Number three.
All right. Number three. Days of Wonder, Yellow, Renegade Game Studios, or CMON?
I said Renegade.
Renegade is definitely climbing the ladder in my book, but I wrote Yellow.
Okay.
Because, it might be a giveaway for number 7 later, but I do think that they have really fantastic illustration, and like everything they put out is beautiful.
Don't know.
There's a lot of crossouts there, Sarah. Yeah. All right, Melissa.
Okay, now we're moving on to components. So we have the miniatures from Gekido, the meeples from Quadropolis, the guns from Cashing Guns, or the pyramid from Camel Up.
My first instinct was the guns from Cashing Guns, but I said meeples from
Quadropolis. Yay! Oh.
Yeah. So. Really, his favorite are the Energon cubes. King of
I wrote that too!
Oh my goodness! That should be a bonus.
That should be a bonus.
I looked at the top 10 component list that you put out last year.
Yeah. What did I say? Not the meeples?
Energon cubes weren't even on I don't think.
They're such a simple piece that you can't, like, it's not a top 10, but it's one of my personal
things. I took 4 that you were, like, just gushing over on the top 10, and I wrote those down.
The Quadropolis meeples were, like, the next evolution of the Energon cubes, so it made sense.
Well, you guys get
clear,
that one.
Clear acrylic is very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so now, tough one. Caverna.
This is a tough one.
Happy Salmon. Captain Sonar or Cavern Tavern.
I think Sarah wrote the right answer.
I wrote the right answer. The right answer is definitely Happy Salmon.
It is kind of.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I wrote Captain Sonar. I do love Happy Salmon and it's so much more accessible, but the like fantastic thrill of winning a game of Captain Sonar is incomparable.
Okay.
I've never felt more satisfied with a board game experience than Captain Sonar.
Oh my goodness.
If you haven't played Captain Sonar, it is an awesome 8-player game.
It is.
Yeah.
It's
like there's not that many 8-player games out there.
Where when you win, you're like, I saved the world! You yell with excitement.
But just make sure your captain knows his right from left.
Ooh,
unlike
yes.
Kevin.
East and west. Yes. Will mess you up.
That wasn't right and left. That was north,
was,
south, east, west.
I was, I'm grossly
your left
challenged.
And right is also key. Yes.
I was going to say, well, Kevin really threw everybody off when he called out one thing and then did another.
We're like, throwing my team off.
You were throwing us off.
Oh, okay. Mm. All
Kevin
right.
Saved a close second, though. Whew, right up there. So close.
So now, Facebook page.
Can I go look at this? Because I don't
yeah,
even
who
know.
Who does Will quote on his Facebook about page?
I totally,
can you even
you
find
totally
this
guess
page?
What
did
I put Jackie Chan.
Absolutely
no idea.
What
sounds
did you
fun.
Put, Will?
Well,
I put the quote as, be the change you want to see. Is that actually it?
Anyway, no, that's
the
not
the quote him. Is, and it says about Will, and then, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls.
That
looks
your,
like work. Thomas Edison.
That's your quote?
I'm not really intelligent. I don't know.
I'm going to be honest.
I can be on board with
that.
I quote.
Knew this weeks ago because Ryan apparently stalks your Facebook page.
I was looking up questions.
Good. Good thinking.
Yeah.
I think I probably put that in there like 10 years ago.
I know.
I was like, he's not even Kermit.
No way. Right.
Well, we thought it'd be hilarious if Sarah got it right and Will got it wrong.
That was
that would
be
super
that
funny.
Right.
Yeah, too long.
Okay, just two more. Great designs or great illustrations?
I don't know. I changed my mind 3 times and then I put design.
Hey, all right! Great illustrations are super crucial. If you had said great mechanic, and great illustrations, I would have picked great illustrations.
Right.
But overall design is better.
That's
okay. Important. Gotta have that.
Very nice.
Final
That's
question?
A matter of opinion.
Do you think great illustration is better than great design?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Because I've seen some games that are beautiful, but still are not fun to play.
Well, design could have been graphic design.
That's what I was. That's why
I was.
That's why I went that way.
That's specifically
yeah.
Graphic design.
It could have been game
thinking.
Design.
Yeah,
it could have been
both.
Any.
That's
graphic. If poor graphic design can kill a game,
it can.
Because you, if yeah.
Icons don't work, it don't make
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Dice World, whatever it's called, looking at you.
What?
Race
what?
For the Galaxy.
Race for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh, see, Race for the Galaxy makes perfect sense for me.
So do we.
Because
next
I
question.
I'm like, oh, this makes perfect sense. Why are you not getting this?
So all right, moving on. Number 8.
All right, last question. The number 1 bucket list item that you haven't done yet.
I'm gonna totally guess skydiving.
Yeah!
Oh!
You've done it twice, Katie?
Yeah!
Oh man, I'm so jealous.
Well, we should all go sometime.
We should. Oh man, how cool would that be?
Well,
it
would be
Tantor
awesome.
House skydiving session?
I'm for it.
It's on my bucket list.
I'm gonna find out where we can go.
We almost went 2 years ago.
Let's have that as a Kickstarter stretch goal.
Yes!
The main reason I haven't gone is because I'm too poor.
We're gonna all up right. Tom Vassell's dumping the games if we could dump games.
From space? From the stratosphere?
Oh, no.
Where do you die from? I don't know.
Meeple.
How great would that be on footage? We have to do that. Back us, people. Listen, right. This is going to be amazing.
No, we should bring like one of those little army men that have their own little skydiving like
parachutes.
We should bring
Woo.
A little meeple with its own parachute to release
see,
while we're going.
I
want
to see Ben holding his full rig camera, and then I want to see Kevin like try to shuffle the deck of cards, what's that called, from one hand to the other,
riffling
while falling.
I don't think that's going to work.
No. It's going to look so good.
It'll just go all up in the air is what it's going to look like.
It's gonna be amazing.
So we have looked at Katie's, Melissa's, Sarah's, Ryan's, Kevin's, and Will's brain.
Woo!
So now we have to think of something really cool.
Couple collision
in the future.
2.0. Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hope you had a blast. We had a blast. We obviously talked too long, but thanks for hanging out with us. We have a couple of shorter episodes, I think, coming up in the future as we get nearer to Christmas, but we hope you'll still join us. And then that's
looking
all
forward to 2018.
Cool. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.